are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on September 21st, 1990.
I've been watching with interest Onondaga County's effort at initiating a recycling program. It may be a moot point considering all of the attendant machinations, but recycling is a worthwhile thing to do. And, of course, it is a law, soon to be mandatory statewide. Those who are not aware of how it works, here are the essentials. Every household or family received a blue plastic bin, which is itself, I hope, recyclable. Into this, we are to place certain recyclable items, including tin cans, plastic jugs and bottles, glass, and newspapers. If it's raining, we're supposed to place the newspapers under the box so they won't get wet. Of course, that means that most people place them on the wet ground. I wonder what percentage of that mess ends up in the landfill anyway. Fairly simple logical instructions have been provided to every householder so that any abuses of the system on the householder's part are due to carelessness or something even more base. This system, of course, requires a double pickup run by the solid waste disposal man, formerly garbage man. You can't pile the contents from those heroic blue bins in with loaded plastic garbage bag. That would make an unholy mess. Of course, we pay extra for the service. I'm not really complaining about that. In fact, I'm glad our disposal man opted to tool up for this added responsibility, because he's dependable and I like him personally. Most people seem to be reacting fairly responsibly in all this. They faithfully place their blue bins by the curb, and I presume just as faithfully pay the hauler for this extra work. So far, pretty good, right? So why do you detect just a bit of irony in the way I'm relating it to you? Well, you see, it's the result, the effectiveness of the whole thing that bothers me. If you live in Onondaga County, and you've been following the process on your street, you are aware that you can't usually see whether there's anything in the bins unless you're standing right over them. On my street, it's the rare bin that overflows with recyclables on any pickup. Sometimes the newspapers stick up above the sides, but some people don't even bother to set out their newspapers. I hope that means they're saving them for the Boy Scouts. Meanwhile, the plastic bags full of unrecyclable material, garbage and trash, much of it biodegradable, stands in mountainous relief beside the lonely blue bins. As you survey the scene, it's hard to detect that this heralded recycling effort has done much to reduce the bulk of solid waste we weekly place by the curb, expecting, of course, that it will be hauled away and neatly, if not inexpensively, deposited in someone else's backyard. Now, we have to be a bit careful in our analysis because the instructions require us to reduce the bulk of our recyclables by flattening all the containers. Most of you didn't do that when these recyclables were just trash. In addition, removing the metal from trash significantly diminishes the weight of it. Even if it does leave bulky and weighty bound publications like magazines and, of course, all that shiny paper with which our Sunday newspapers are today so overflowed. That's the better side of it. It accomplishes much more than is immediately evident, but that's not good enough. Too many people think of recycling as an environmental brainstorm with a good ring to it, but without too much relationship to their lives. When anything falters in operation or gets tattered, worn, or out of style, it's simply heaved in the trash. We just don't have a recycling mentality. My fear is that when people begin to really examine what recycling is accomplishing and what it costs, they'll be rapidly disaffected and begin to pile off the voluntary bandwagon. If things continue the way they are, I fear that the blue bins will begin to collect dust and that the haulers will experience increasing difficulty in collecting their fees. One of my neighbors claims it takes him a month to accumulate enough to fill his blue bin. He thinks he should only pay for the days when the bin is full. Of course, the crux of the matter is the failure of people to be discerning consumers. Choosing recyclable packaging or no packaging and refusing to buy things in non-recyclable packaging. At the same time, industry seems to make little effort to reduce its use of non-recyclables or to develop technology for the recycling of what it prefers to use. One manufacturer told me indignantly to quit harping on industry's obligation to be responsible for its byproducts and waste. Our responsibility is to give the consumer what he wants, he intoned. If that means packaging it in styrofoam, so be it. So there we have it. If recycling is going to maintain its relevance, we have to do a lot more about explaining its worth, and a lot more to tighten the balance between that what we discard in total and what we recycle. More recycling markets for what we use, and less use of that for which there is no recycling market. More about this at some later date. Well, that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.